Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. But now let's go to our devotion titled Poisonous Shells. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Unbelievable as it may seem, some species of shell creatures are more dangerous than rattlesnakes. The poison in the daggers these shells carry is strong enough to kill a person in a few hours. The daggers are intended for protection against natural enemies such as fish, other shells, or an octopus, as well as for killing the marine creatures the shells feed on. All of the beautifully marked cone shells of tropical and semi-tropical waters are carnivorous and all carry daggers. However, some of them carry unpoisoned daggers, while others have poisoned ones, and some are more dangerous than others. The most deadly of the shells is the textile cone, a deep yellow shell decorated with white blotches and wavy yellow lines. An examination of a textile cone reveals that the deadly dagger is enclosed within its muscular proboscis. Like a sword in a sheath, the long, sharp, curved blade with the barb on the end can be forced outward or drawn inward by strong muscles at the base. A tube leads from the base of the dagger to a poison sac. When the blade is thrust out, the sac is compressed and poison spurts beyond the tip of the blade for several inches. The shell often leaves its blade in its victim, but always has a ready supply of replacements on hand. Wow. Men who live in the South Seas recognize the poisonous shell varieties and are usually able to avoid their sting. When they are accidentally stabbed, they slash the wound to let the blood flow wash out most of the poison. Without this treatment, they would die. Some men, unfamiliar with cone shells, begin collecting them with the idea of making a quick fortune, only to be stabbed to death before they realize what has happened. Sometimes our human natures lead us in directions that seem good, but in the end are unwise. By trusting our own wisdom, we often make mistakes. When we trust in Jesus, who is the source of wisdom, we will be saved from difficulties. Isn't that a precious promise? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may every decision we make or every word that comes out of our mouth run by you first. May we make our lives a reflection of yours. I just praise you that we have the opportunity to be a co-laborer with you and to work for the salvation of others, to love others, to interact. And I pray for families that are struggling with homeschooling or the decision to homeschool. Be with them. I pray for those that are in traditional school. Just, Lord, our kids are what we are going to lay before your feet when we get to heaven. The kids you gave us. So I pray for them. I pray for a family that just the dad lost his job and the mom wants to be able to continue homeschooling. And I pray for a family whose dad left and the mom is devastated and wants to continue homeschooling. Please, please, Lord. And I pray for our communities and our nation. And I thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers. We love you. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, in our arts and crafts section, I have put a video about the textile cone shell. It's amazing. And I've also put some shell crafty ideas. I'm sure you can come up with some of your own because don't we all love to go to the beach and just collect shells? And some of those worn-out shells that are certainly less than perfect specimens, those make the best canvas for an art project. You can make the little half shells, you can make jewelry, you can make Christmas ornaments, and I do that. I have some sand dollars that I use for Christmas ornaments, and I do have a cone shell, but it's not the textile cone shell that I found and used as an ornament. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Today we're talking about if you should homeschool or not. And we've been looking at all of the factors. And today we're going to talk about your ability. Some people are not cut out to homeschool their children. There's some interpersonal problems, and that's when if your child is in a school that the teacher supports your philosophy and comes up beside you, that can be a wonderful thing. Most of the children who I teach on a regular basis are children who have either a behavioral disability or a learning disability or both. And even though I'll tell you confidentially, one is a teacher. She is a teacher and she still sends her children to my little school because she feels that it gives her additional support. Yes, she's good at teaching all the subjects, but since she teaches during the day, it really is impossible for her to teach her children. And the father doesn't want to. So you have to look, what is my ability level? Doesn't mean that you're not super intelligent. It just means that maybe you don't have the ability to be patient enough to understand and put yourself in the place of what your child's going through. So you have to take that into account. Do you have the ability to homeschool? Don't take pressure from all your friends that are going, oh, you know, it's the Lord's will for you to homeschool. Every child has their own individual path to be on, and you need to prayerfully decide what path that is. Questions parents ask. This question is about bedtimes and screen times. Do you all set a bedtime for your 7 and 9 year olds? If so, what time? And do you limit screen time? It's like two questions in one. Well, Chelsea, it's like this. You need to have a bedtime for your own psychic. And the thing of it is, if you're letting the kids sleep in as long as they want to in the morning, pretty soon the morning will become the afternoon. So get up, even if you need to run around and wake up and do whatever it takes to wake you up. Set a time in the morning that those kids get up. And I've even had moms who were pregnant or just exhausted set an alarm up for their kids. And they made it fun, but it was the most raucous alarm. And they set that, and that alarm went off whether mom and dad got up or not, and it went off every morning. It could sound like a rooster crowing. It could sound like a horn honking. Sometimes mom did this. She said, look, you can get up at this time and you can get on your tablet for an hour or a half hour. But before you do that, I want you to watch this video on Superbook or some Bible story video so that And with the technology now, you're able to actually start the video at a certain time. So that could be the alarm. What a nice way to wake up to a story from the Bible. So the next question is from Sarah, and she says that her friend is looking at the possibility of having to homeschool her 8-year-old son due to all the behavior issues he has in school. Well, you know, behavioral disorder is a real thing. And Schools, every school is different. You might try a different school, smaller school. But whatever you do, the behavior issues will come home. So if you could find a teacher that could come up alongside you and actually be a coach to your child, and you're a coach to your child, then maybe you can transition into homeschooling or unschooling or whatever philosophy you choose to do. Prayer, don't underestimate prayer. I pray for my students as I'm working with them, as I come to a behavior that seems particularly righteous. I pray first. And God will do the same for you that He has done for me. To stay tuned for the second half of the show, where we begin our interview with Linda Evans Shepherd, who has written many books, is a national known speaker, but she's writing and talking to me today about how the terrible car accident that her child was in shaped her prayer life. You will not want to miss this. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Like a little child. Babies from a study group were assessed at 1 year, and they showed that 68% of this study who had responsive mothers were secure as compared to 28% of the control group. If there are indeed 1 million children being raised in a very rigid manner, then teachers, caregivers, therapists, pastors, and physicians should be ready to deal with the myriad of psychological issues that will be present over the next century. They will see everything from antisocial, addictive, and high-risk behaviors to that child who cannot trust God because they never came to trust their parents. For more information, go to homeschoolcompanion.org. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Linda Evans Shepherd, and we're talking about a book, Prayers for Every Need. But behind that is such a phenomenal story that I'd like to just open it up for you to set the stage and tell me a little bit about this story.
Well, thank you, Rose. When I was a young mom, I was in a terrible car crash, and my baby was thrown into the freeway. And I knew at that moment that her life had been changed. And the doctor said that she was in vegetative state and that she could be that way until she was 80 years old. And I was just desperate to reach out to God, to touch Him, to figure out, was there a way? Was there a formula? Was there a way I could really reach the throne with this need, because I just couldn't imagine my daughter being in vegetative state until she was 80. And so I prayed and I investigated and I read books and I experimented in prayer. I was the great prayer experimenter. And nothing really seemed to change. We had to bring her home when she was still sleeping. And she slept day after day, week after week, and then month after month until we put her newborn baby brother in her arms for the first time a year after that car crash. And in that moment, my daughter woke up.
Oh, wow.
Now, she came back to us with severe disabilities. In fact, one of the disabilities was that her brain was so swirled with damage that the doctors told me that only half of her brain remained. And so every day, as a little mom, I would put my hand on her precious little head, and I would ask the Lord to restore her brain. And then 3 years later, they made me take a new MRI. Now, I didn't want to. I was furious because the first time we did it, the team, the therapist, they all quit. They all said, what's the point? And I didn't want to lose my team. I didn't want them to know. And so the doctor put the film up on the screen and I stood up and I said, excuse me, this is not my daughter's film. And she says, now, why are you saying that? She knew she had a grin on her face. And I said, because this child has an intact brain. And I happen to know that my daughter's brain, 50% of it is missing. But this child has a brain. And she said, well, what we didn't know was that your daughter's brain could regenerate.
Wow.
And I sat down, I stood up, and I thought of all those nights I had prayed over my daughter. Well, these prayer successes just kept me learning and investigating and praying and understanding. Because when I was a little girl, I wanted to talk to God like Samuel did. I did, but I didn't know how. I would say grace at the table. I would ask God to bless everyone. And I remember saying to him, it would be so nice if I could talk to you and you could talk back. And today I have pressed into prayer and I can hear his gentle whisper, not out loud. And it always agrees with the word. If it doesn't, I did not hear from the Lord. And figuring out your own selfish ambitions and the voice of the enemy. But I have to tell you, and here's the key, and this is what we need to tell the children. When God speaks to you, he always says this, I love you.
Amen.
And when you can follow that voice, not the voice that says, oh, you are so stupid. That is not the voice of the Lord. People hear that voice.
Yes.
We've all heard that voice. You shouldn't have done that. Boy, did you ever blow it. Instead, follow the voice that loves you. Follow the voice that gives you peace. And if you don't know what decision to make, follow the peace. Because that is God's Holy Spirit leading the way.
So, I mean, of course, I don't know. Does your book tell the story in here too?
No, but let me tell you what the book does do. This is like my prayer diary. I wrote this book. It took me about 12 to 15 years to write this particular book because it's a compilation of, I've written about a dozen prayer books. Over a dozen. And it's a compilation of all the prayers that ended every chapter in all of my books and little prayers in the chapters. And when my publisher asked me to write it, I'm like, what? It's going to be like the same prayer. No, it's so varied and we pray. And as I begin to pull these together and read them, I was like, these are my prayers, the prayers that I prayed for over the last dozen years. And these prayers are still alive and they're full of my prayer secrets, full of my ways that I've learned to communicate with God and to reach heaven. So the story's not in it, but the power of my prayer life and what the Lord did in my prayer life is there and will help others. And by the way, it's also an Audible book. So if you begin to just play it while you're driving or with your kids, you're going to learn these concepts that I teach throughout the prayers.
So back to, you know, you've left us there with, you know, you're awestruck because you've just discovered that your daughter's brain has regenerated.
Right.
So how did that change the way you related to your daughter?
Well, we already knew that our daughter had understanding. But nobody believed us. It changed the way other people related to our daughter. We were right there with her the whole time. I just didn't know that we would have proof. And so that was a beautiful thing.
Yes. And is she still alive?
My daughter lived to be 30 years old.
Oh, wow. You got 30 years with her.
We got 30 years. And now I don't want to cry, but you know, we got to say goodbye to her. Her kidneys just gave out. And it was her turn. She had spent a year with the Lord. That's what we found out later. She had spent that year that she slept with Jesus. And she told us in her own way. She couldn't speak, but you could ask her questions and she could answer with yes and no. And so by a series of questions, we found out that my daughter had sat in Jesus' lap. And when we asked her about it, she was actually paralyzed. She lifted her arms in praise and glowed whenever we would talk to her about being with the Lord. And when she passed, she was a little bit afraid, but we knew it was her time. And I told her, I said, Laura, I said, and Jesus is going to be there, and he's sending an angel. And all these people had come to me and said, I had a dream where I saw your daughter sit up in bed, swing her legs over the bed, and God's going to heal her. And after she died, they came back to me and they said, we're so sorry, we got it wrong. And I said, no, you didn't.
Well, this is where the host gets emotional. You know, it's, we live in an enemy-occupied territory.
That's right. That's true.
So we've collected our tears, and we're just praising the Lord. And I think that if we can help our children pray and help us pray, that there's no other power or nothing more powerful than developing a true, strong prayer life. So your daughter lived until 30 years. That means you did a lot of caregiving.
We did, yes.
And serving. And I know that some of the greatest spiritual lessons that I've ever encountered have been with children with disabilities or young adults with disabilities that have volunteered to help me at school. They were actually more work than they were help. You know, I had a spina bifida lady, and she couldn't grade papers, she couldn't supervise kids, she couldn't walk, she had a urinal bag and that we had to empty. But I learned so much about God's love for us by taking care of her. And so I think about the pain we go through, but yet through it all, we see God's unending care for us and for that person too. Mm-hmm. Well, we're coming to the end of our first part of this interview, and I'm hoping that you will all join me tomorrow when we really unpack this wonderful prayer book called Prayers for Every Need. And we're talking with Linda Evans Shepherd. You can go to her website, myprayergift.com, or go to pray.com, gottopray.com. So got to pray is gottopray.com, and then myprayergift.com, all spelled out. Well, with that, I'll say goodbye, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks again for being with us. I just love the idea that so many families are taking back the parenting of their children. I love that. And I think that as time goes on, we'll have a modified thing where there will be more and more support for you. But in the meantime, I want to be your homeschool companion. So email me at myhomeschoolcompanion, it's all spelled out, myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com, and let me see how I can help you. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.